Before I was saved, I hated cops. Before I was saved. Why? Because I was a criminal. All criminals hate cops. And so when I got saved, the Lord put me around some saved cops. And they were in church. So I got to be around them in a little bit, and then I started realizing how my thought life was wrong, the way I was. And the way this whole thing's going on. Now, I'm not saying all cops are perfect, and I'm not saying all of them are doing the right thing. Cops sometimes get cocky. They think they're above the law, some of them, not all of them. But a lot of stuff goes on. But anyway. All right, if you look at the date in your Bible, look at Micah, look at the date. I've got BC, this is the Scofield Bible. I've got BC 710. And back of you, go to the front of the book of Micah to chapter 1, it's BC 750. So in the Old Testament, time went down. We got time going up now. Time went down. So I believe man was on the earth 4004 BC. So as it goes on, it goes, and Jesus Christ was born 4 BC. So time was going down. From 4004 on up to Jesus Christ, born at 4000 B.C. And take your Bible, hold your place there in Micah, and go to Daniel. Go to the book of Daniel. The reason why I'm showing you this is just, it's important. A lot of people, they don't get the sequence between the books, and they get kind of confused about it. Daniel is in captivity now. Micah is written before the captivity. Jeremiah was written before the captivity, before Nebuchadnezzar came down and took him to Babylon. And now Daniel, look at Daniel chapter 1, and it says the Scofield Bible says BC 607. See that? So Micah was written over 100 years before Daniel. So Daniel's already, he's writing the book of Daniel. He's in captivity already. So when you read Jeremiah, you read some of these Old Testament prophets and the minor prophets, and you'll read God warning them and saying, look, man, come back. And the Lord, basically Israel spit in God's face. They just spit in God's face because, I mean, all the things God did for them. He said, man, all the miracles, and the Lord was insulted because they just spit on him. And, I mean, they still had the temple going, and the Lord says, and they were doing all the rituals, they were doing everything, but their hearts weren't in it. They were doing secret stuff on the side. They still go put on a show, and they would take their sacrifice every year. They put on a show. And it made me think about a lot of way Christianity is today. We got the churches all over the land. We say, you know, and bothered me when Obama said America's not a Christian nation. He was going to make sure it wasn't going to be a Christian nation. But it bothered me when he said that. But basically, America's turned their back on God. And you think about 1950, 1960, you didn't see that junk going on. And when I was born in 56 and up through the 60s, you didn't see the stuff going on today like it is. You didn't hear about school shootings, and you didn't hear about people going in, killing other kids, and all this other stuff going on. It's because America turned their back on God, claiming to be Christians at the same time, claiming that they love God, and they really don't. And real Christians fall in that same rut. You'll get to the place where church is not that important to you. It don't mean much. You go to church and you think, well, I did my duty. I did my duty like Israel did. They did their duty. They took their sacrifice and all that. And the Lord says, your sacrifice and your offerings make me sick. They make me sick because their hearts weren't in it. Their hearts wasn't to love God. You know what the first commandment is? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul. So their hearts wasn't in serving God. And America's gotten that way. They don't. If you got something else to do on Sunday, guess what? Something else will come up, and you do it. And when it comes, I'm not saying if you miss church, you're going to hell and all that stuff. I'm not saying all that. But I'm saying those things that used to mean something in America, when America was founded, our forefathers, and America made a lot of mistakes as well. But thank God for America choosing Jesus Christ as their God. You know, America's the only nation that chose Jesus Christ as their God. And God chose Israel as his people. Israel didn't choose God. God chose them. America chose Jesus Christ. So the difference is, and that's why God blessed America, because America chose Jesus Christ. So Israel, God chose them, and he did all the things for them. He did everything for them, and then they turn around and spit in his face, and then he allows them to go into captivity, and then, you know, the Rome is the last kingdom of Daniel that talks about, talking about the 10 toes and all that, the legs, and Rome comes in. And guess what? God allowed Rome to about annihilate them. But he stepped in. He would step in. He would step in. And is the Jews, they kept saying, you know, even in Germany and everything, Hitler came along, Napoleon, all these others that are trying to kill the Jews and annihilate them. But God would step in. Guess what? The Lord's going to step in for Israel again. But this time he says they'll stay with him. This time. But here, America chose Jesus Christ. And when we got saved, we chose Jesus Christ. But something happens. Something happens down the road. As you walk in this road of life, the Bible talks about lay aside every sin and the weight that so easily besets you. You got to lay stuff aside, because if not, it'll get a hold of you. It'll pull you right back. It'll pull you. You'll put on the show. You'll go to church, you know, every once in a while. You'll do this, you know, do your little ritual things and then all that stuff, but it ain't real. So when you read your Bible, I've talked to people, they say, well, I read my Bible, I just don't get nothing from it. Well, have you prayed, asked God to show you something? Have you asked the Lord, said, Lord, I need something from you? Have you, when you come to church, do you say, Lord, I need something. I need something from you today. And I always pray this. I always say, Lord, surprise me. Surprise us on Wednesday night. Surprise us on Sunday. Surprise us. Show up. I want the Lord to show up. Yeah. You know, when we had 10 people in here, and we were just having services, I mean, the Lord showed up. Just with 10 people. And I could feel his presence. And I want to feel his presence when the place is full. But there's a lot of times you get in here, the place is full, and there's opposition going on. There's an opposition. But look at Micah. I told you the date. Micah's prophesying, and he's going through this whole thing. And he's telling about, look at chapter 5. He says, this man shall be the peace when the Assyrian shall come into our land. The Assyrian, the Bible calls the Antichrist the Assyrian. But this Assyrian is going to be Nebuchadnezzar. He says the man should, but it could be have double application. Because there's going to be another Assyrian that comes to Israel. There's going to be, it's a double application. He says, shall come into our land, and when he shall tread in our palaces, then shall we rise against him, 7 shepherds and 8 principal men. That's a wild thing. So what in the world is that? I don't know, man. 7 shepherds. That means there's going to be an underground movement against the Antichrist. Underground. Just like in Germany, they were in the Germans, the French had underground movement. The Germans had underground movement and everything else. So there's going to be an underground movement against the Antichrist when he comes. But look in chapter 6. It says, hear ye now what the Lord saith. Arise, contend thou before the mountains, let the hills hear thy voices. The Lord talks about mountains and hills. Then the Bible talks about they're going to cry out for the mountains to fall on them. And he says, the Bible tells us in Zephaniah, I think it is, that the mountains and the trees and everything are going to clap their hands. The trees are going to clap their hands when the Lord comes back. And the mountains are going to shout and the rocks are going to cry out. That's going to be something, man. I mean, a big old mountain you ride by, you look at the mountains and go, wow, look at that. And the mountains, the side of a mountain opens up and goes, glory to God. Hallelujah. And the trees start going, woo-hoo! And leaves start flying everywhere. He says, hear ye, O mountain, the Lord's controversy. The Lord's got a controversy. And you find that a couple of times in the Bible. Ye strong foundations of the earth, for the Lord hath a controversy with his people. He will plead with Israel. You know, I'm reading over there, over in Genesis, I'm reading about Joseph coming back, and or Joseph in Egypt, and his brothers come down. He gives them the dream, and they can't stand it. They hate his guts. I mean, their own brother, their own flesh and blood. They hate his guts. They sell him as a slave to the Midianites, and he goes down to Egypt, becomes Potiphar's slave, And Potiphar buys him, and God keeps his hand upon Joseph in the middle of all these things. And then Pharaoh has a dream. And then the butler says, hey, for 2 years, I forgot all about this guy. He can interpret it. And the Pharaoh brings him up, and Joseph tells him dream, and they make make Joseph second in command of Egypt, the strongest nation at that time in the world. And then all of a sudden, there's a famine in the land. His brothers come down. He tells them the dream when he was a young boy. He tells them, he said, the sun and the moon and the stars bow down before me. And man, they knew he was talking about them. And man, they made him mad. That's why they wanted to kill him. They talked about killing him. They threw him in the pit, sold him. And then all of a sudden, Joseph's sitting there on the throne, and he sees these guys come walking in. And he's not bitter. He was rough with them, but he's not bitter. And he remembers that dream that God showed him. And these guys come in, they bow down before him and everything, and he gets rough with them, and then he tells them to come to the house. And then the Bible says he went, when they started talking, and they started saying, maybe this is happening to us because of what we did to our brother. God's a reconciler, but God's also a rewarder. And so Joseph has to leave the room and go out there, and he cries. And the Bible says that's going to be what Jesus Christ is going to come back. And they're going to say, who is this? Who is he? Zephaniah, where did you get the wounds in your hands? God's got a controversy. I don't want the Lord to have a controversy with me. I don't want him to have a controversy with our church. I believe God's got a lot of controversy with a lot of churches around the world. He's got controversy with them. They're supposed to be in the name of Jesus Christ, but you couldn't find Jesus Christ in every flashlight. It says, verse 3, O my people, what have I done unto thee? Wherein have I wearied thee? Testify against me. Let me say this. There's nobody going to be able to stand up and say, God, you did me wrong. You know, you could stand up in church and say, well, brother so-and-so did me wrong, sister so-and-so did me wrong, or they just said this and they said that. You could stand up and testify against us, but ain't nobody going to be able to stand up and testify against him. Amen. God has never did you wrong. When my brother got killed that night, I went outside. Whew, I said, God, you blankety blank. I mean, I meant it. I was cursing him. I cursed him up down the other and said all kinds of nasty stuff to him. And I said, if I could drag you out of heaven, I would. Laying on my brother's grave, cussing, on the side of a hill. You know, God had mercy on me. What, I'm just a little pea ant. He says, I brought thee up out of the land of Egypt and redeemed thee out of the house of servants. I sent before thee Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember now what Balak, king of Moab, consulted and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him from Shittim unto Gilead, that ye may know the righteousness of the Lord. The Lord says, he's reminded. The Lord's constantly reminding the nation of Israel, constantly reminding David, constantly reminding Joseph, constantly reminding people. And you know what? When you read your Bible, he doesn't have to remind you too much. He just tells you, here's how you're supposed to walk. Here's what you ought to do. Here's how you ought to, you know, live your life, the New Testament. And he doesn't remind you. It's just that we need reminding, though. That's why you say, why do I need to read my Bible every day? You need to be reminded. We all do. We all need to remember. And look what he says. Wherein shall I come before the Lord? Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams? The Lord said, he said, you're sacrificing me. And it reminds me of Revelation where the Lord said, you know, he said, I'd rather for you be hot or cold, because if you're lukewarm, you make me sick. He'll make me, he'll spew you out of my mouth, make me sick. Man, I tell you what, we're so easy to go lukewarm. We're so easy to go that way. We get somebody, like my sister said, somebody in the church said something to her or did something, the youth group or the pastor or something, and then we're so easy to say, well, forget this. Forget this. I'm going to walk out. I'm not going to serve God no more. because of this, because of them, because of this. And, you know, but God didn't do nothing wrong to you.
Amen.
He didn't do nothing. My sister testified that. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord, verse 6, and bow myself before the high of God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings and with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000 of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression? My firstborn? You know, you think about that. Jesus Christ gave his firstborn. The Bible says he's the first begotten of the dead. I mean, Jesus Christ wasn't begotten like the Jehovah's Witnesses say. He wasn't a begotten God. But man, and then Old Testament, they had to give their firstborn dedication. And also the Bible tells you in Leviticus, if they didn't give a sacrifice for the firstborn, they had to give a sacrifice. That's why the firstborn was so important, that firstborn. And Pharaoh said, you know, I'm going to kill all the firstborn of Pharaoh, of the Jews. And then the firstborn of Egypt died. Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body, for the sins of my soul? And I like this verse. This is what I want you to see. Verse 8. He has showed me, O man, what is good. What doeth the Lord require of thee? To do justly. Just do right. You know what I always tell people? Just do right, man. Do right. Do right. Bob Jones Sr. say, do right, do right, do right till the stars fall. Just do right. If we just do right, everything be right. If we just do right. That's elementary, my dear brother. Yeah, it is. Just do right. Can people count on you to do the right thing? Can God count on us to do the right thing? When you're by yourself, nobody's around to tell you what's right and what's wrong, you just say, I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to judge righteously. Yeah, why is it that people get on the wrong side of arguments? They get on the wrong side of things, and they take up sides with people that's wrong. Amen. And you know what happens? It puts you in a category. It'll put you in a category with the wrong. And you'll suffer the wrong. Why would you want to do that? Why would you want to get in the category with those that do wrong and take up, you know, whatever for them, for the wrong? I always, when we was preaching to some Muslim one time outside, I was yelling, I just kept yelling at him, I'm on the right side. I'm on the right side. Thank God I'm on the right side. If you're saved, you're on the right side.
Amen.
But some people get on the wrong side of the matter. They always get on the wrong side. You don't want to get on God's wrong side. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doeth the Lord require of thee. The Lord does require some things from you. He requires. And he requires, you know, look at, take your Bible, look in Ecclesiastes. Look what Ecclesiastes says. I like it. I like the way Ecclesiastes ends up. The whole duty of man. Ecclesiastes. If we all just did right, if we just didn't have, if everybody did right, we wouldn't even have to have really preaching. Just as exhortation. That's all we have to have is just exhortation, lifting up Jesus Christ. And we're supposed to do that anyway. But we can lift up Jesus Christ and shout the house down. It says, look at verse 12, verse 1. We always use this for young people. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them, while the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. Saying, you know, when you're young, you ain't got no problems. You got a little problem here and there. You got a little of these little things come up in your life. But when you get older, you got some bigger problems. But he said, while the sun and the light or the moon and the stars be not darkened, and nor the clouds return after the rain, in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the window be darkened, and the door shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low, he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low, when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets, or ever their silver cord be loosened, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitchers be broken at the fountain, or the wheels broken at the cistern. That'd be a trouble there, brother. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was. They were watering the ground. They were trying to keep the ground fertile so they could have fruit. And the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Vanity of vanity, saith the preacher, all is vanity. Moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and sat in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words. That which was written was upright, even words of truth. The words of the wise are as goads, as nails fastened by the master of the assembly, which are given from one shepherd. And further, by these, my son, be admonished, and making many books, there be no end. And study, much study is a weariness of the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Whole conclusion, the whole matter. Go back to Micah chapter 6. We'll try to finish up here. I've been reading this, reading through my Bible. How many of y'all reading your Bible every day? Reading your Bible. Read your Bible every day. Go through it. Go through it from Genesis to Revelation. He said, he that showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doeth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly. Here's another thing, to love mercy. People want mercy, but they don't want to show mercy. They don't want to show mercy on other people. They love to have mercy themselves, but they don't want to give mercy. Thank God for his mercy. Thank God. He says to do justly, to love mercy. Then look at the last one, to walk humbly with thy God. Walk humbly. God resists the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Walk humbly with thy God. There used to be a day in this country where there used to be a humble spirit of people that feared God and walked humbly before their God. There's a spirit and another spirit today. There's an evil spirit. There's an unclean spirit. And people thinking everybody owes them something. Everybody, you ought to give it to me or I'm going to take it. That's the way I thought. That was a spirit. And now it says to do justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with thy God. The Lord's voice crieth unto the city. Look at this. And the man of wisdom shall see thy name. Hear ye the rod who hath appointed it. Are there yet the treasures of the wickedness in the house of the wicked? In the slant measured that is abominable? Shall I count them pure with the wicked balances? With the bags of deceitful weights. Deceitful weights is where they deceive people to get the riches from and charge them more or charge less. All depends on what it is. For the rich men thereof are full of violence. The inhabitants thereof. You know what? When I read that, I thought about George Soros. I thought about that. For the rich men thereof are full of violence. And the inhabitants thereof have spoken lies, and their tongues is deceitful in their mouth. Therefore also will I make thee sick in smiting thee and making thee desolate because of thy sins. Thou shalt eat, but not be satisfied. Thy casting down shall be in the midst of thee, and thou shalt take hold. You think about somebody getting cast down. Who's getting cast down? The devil and all that follow him. He says, thy casting down shall be in the midst of thee, and thou shalt take hold, but shall not deliver. But that which thou deliverest will I give up to the sword. Thou that sowest, but thou shalt not reap. Thou shalt tread the olives, but thou shalt not anoint thee with oil. And the sweet wine, but shall not drink wine. For the statutes and so on. So that thing, man, when Micah's writing this, he's telling Israel, he's telling them, hey, man, you need to get right with God. Walk humbly with your God. Get things right. Show mercy. Do justly. Guess what? They didn't. And I realized this. God dealt with Israel as a nation. He dealt with them as a whole. Now, there's individuals in there that God dealt with. But then you read about Ahab, the northern tribes, and Ahab and so on. You got Jeroboam that goes up there in the northern tribes and all that stuff. And they produce another god. They make a god of gold and calf, and they start worshiping that stuff. And I remember a preacher said one time, he said, anything you put before God becomes a god to you. Anything you put before the Lord becomes a god. He says, walk humbly with thy God. Love mercy. Love mercy. Do justly. Do the right thing. Always try to do the right thing. And a lot of people don't want to do the right thing. Just don't want to do it. All right, we ain't got time to go on. Brother Jay, come on, read that letter, and then Brother Ken's going to come up to the...